The idea was our owners, John Henry, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think he just thought that this was a really interesting time in the life of the Catholic Church with a pope that has such charisma and is so appealing to so many. And it's also an interesting time because the Catholic Church, you know, Catholicism is the largest denomination in the United States. There are 1.2 billion Catholics around the world. And the no matter who the Pope is, he's the leading figure, religious figure in the world. And when he speaks, people listen. What he says and what he does matters. And I think that John Henry probably thought that this was an area that perhaps was underserved by the mainstream media.
Now, obviously, Boston is a very heavily Catholic area, but this is not just intended for Boston, is it?
It's not. It's not a local or a regional site. Our ambitions are to be a national and an international site. We'd like to attract Catholics and even the interest of non-Catholics from around the country as well as around the world.
You will feature analysis by John Allen Jr. Who is John Allen Jr.?
Well, John is the premier Vatican correspondent in the country. I don't want to be presumptuous and say in the world, but we think that he is. John has covered the Vatican for many years. He previously worked for the National Catholic Reporter, and we hired him from there. And he is associate editor of Crux. His insider knowledge of how the Vatican works and his knowledge of context and history of the structure of the Catholic Church and the way the Church operates is second to none.
How, in your opinion, does the American Catholic Church differ at all from, say, the church that's based in Rome or perhaps the church in another country? How does Catholicism differ from nation to nation?
I think the American Catholic Church is probably a little more liberal than the version of Catholicism that you may find in Latin America, for example, or even in Asia, where Catholicism is growing. The American Catholic Church has really a wide range of outlook. There are Catholics that find fault with a lot of what the Church does, and yet values the moral teachings and the spirituality and the sustenance that they get from being a Catholic, all the way to Catholics who are extremely devout and faithful and follow the Church's teachings on doctrine to the letter. And it's one of the admirable qualities of the Church is that it's a big enough tent to accommodate everybody.
There are some in this country who get a little nervous, a little worried when a religion gets involved in politics. Will you be covering that issue, and how involved is the Catholic Church, let's say, on Beacon Hill?
Well, in Massachusetts, Cardinal O'Malley certainly does speak out on issues that he feels conflicts with church teaching. Clearly, any cardinal in the country is concerned with major issues regarding, for example, abortion or gay marriage, etc. But I think really what we've seen Cardinal O'Malley here in Boston and many cardinals around the country, and it's something actually that I don't think the Church gets enough credit for, is their work on behalf of social justice in their work, their charitable work. The church's charitable work and its statements and actions on social justice is absolutely remarkable, and I think it's something that probably would appeal to younger Catholics, as a matter of fact. And it's in keeping with what Pope Francis is asking his bishops to focus on.
The Catholic Church, of course, is still in the process of slowly recovering from the child abuse clergy scandal of recent years and recent decades. Are Catholics coming back to the church? Did they leave the church because of this? How would you define that?
Oh, I think there's no question that a lot of Catholics left the church because of that abuse crisis and the church's response to it, which was disappointing for many Catholics in many cases. There's no question about that. Are they coming back now? I'm not sure. I don't think Catholicism is necessarily growing in the United States, but it's growing in other parts of the world. And the sexual abuse crisis, it still isn't over. There still are lawsuits. There still are dioceses that are undergoing bankruptcy proceedings. There's still disagreement about payments. It's really one of the, you know, terrible chapters in Catholic Church history, unfortunately. But I think, again, this Pope has taken some steps to try to rectify that.
If someone clicked on cruxnow.com today, what would they see? What's on screen today?
Well, our lead story is a really interesting piece by our national reporter, Michael O'Loughlin, about the interesting fusion of Native American culture and Catholicism. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that about 25% of Native Americans are Catholics. It's a result of course, missionary work. And what's interesting is that even though there's a little bit of a checkered history between the Catholic Church and Native Americans, regarding some mistreatment in the past, et cetera, the fact is that Native Americans find an awful lot that is appealing in Catholicism. And if you think about it, it makes sense. The Native Americans and Catholics, they're both into, ritual and ceremony and spirituality. So the Native Americans blend their connection with nature with their Catholic theology in a really interesting way. Today's also the debut of our spirituality columnist, Marjorie Egan. And the theme of her column today is that Catholics give up too soon. And it's a very personal piece talking about how she came to her own spirituality and that, she had been a cradle Catholic who fell away from going to Mass, but just couldn't resist the pull of the other things that Catholicism has to offer. And we have a very interesting feature centerpiece about a married Catholic priest. Another element of surprise, we hope, for a lot of people. There are many Episcopalian ministers who wanted to convert to Catholicism yet keep practicing their ministry. And the Vatican said, okay, and set up a special diocese that is non-geographically based for these Episcopal priests to practice in. So naturally, they brought along their wife and kids, and they're fully Catholic priests operating parishes, and yet they're married. The interesting twist on that story is that the former Episcopal priest that we interviewed, they support priestly celibacy because they definitely feel there's a role for that in the church, and they can certainly understand why the Catholic Church requires that.